RadioInfluence.com.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And a very good evening. Welcome to Crush Performance. I'm Jeff Crushell. The Con Man is here, and we are talking nutrition tonight, and it's a big show because we're going to be getting down to the nitty-gritty. We'll be visited by Dr. Yanni Friedhoff, author of The Diet Fix, and the fix is in as we showcase his new book, and Dr. Friedhoff will be joining us to discuss why diets don't work and how you can fix your diet. Are you an athlete, parent, or coach, or just someone conscious about the food you eat and what your family eats? I strongly suggest you check in and have a look at Dr. Friedhoff's blog and website called Weighty Matters. Dr. Friedhoff is a go-to guy on a number of platforms, and he calls a spade, no question about it. He goes after the government quite regularly. He's taken on fast food and the big food industries, and it's all backed by research. The book is tremendous, and that's what we'll be talking about today, no question. If you want to get in touch with us, you can get to us at crushperformance.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, Crush Performs, and you can also text us 101260. The question of the day, and again, we're setting ourselves up for the last weekend at Marmot Basin as spring skiing winds up with the grand finale. We'll be talking with Brian Rode about all the events coming up later in the show. But if you want to get up there this weekend, give us a text. We're going to be picking somebody from our text pool to get two passes to Marmot Basin this weekend, as well as a midweek stay at the Mount Robson Inn up there in Jasper. As spring kicks off, it's a beautiful place to be. The question, though, have you tried a diet? Did it work? How much weight have you kept off? And do you have any suggestions for other people out there? Because let's just face it, when we look across the board in the dieting world, diets don't work. And that's one of the reasons we're excited about this conversation today. And this sort of spurred us on as we've been questioned here over the last couple of weeks as the hockey players set into their offseason. We know that nutrition is right up there as one of the number one priorities in terms of sports performance. And if we were to truly rank the important factors that are going to determine success in sports for training athletes, it would be rest and recovery number one. We look at rest and recovery as the top priority in sport when we are developing a program. And again, that's at every single level. It doesn't matter if you're a recreational weekend warrior, if you're a serious athlete trying to get to the top, or if you are an Olympic or professional athlete. Rest and recovery is number one. And inside of that nice little nugget is sleep. Sleep is so important. And we've had a couple great shows here recently on sleep. And you can go onto the podcast at crushperformance.com to check that out, because sleep, as we know, is where it all happens. If you're not getting enough sleep, you cannot perform at the top levels. Now, let's just say you're sleeping and resting properly. The next factor that has the greatest potential to influence your performance or your everyday life is, without question, nutrition. And that's what we're going to get to today. If we look at the landscape out there, we're going to set the tone with Dr. Friedhoff as to what is nutrition all about. What is this whole big dieting phenomenon that's come on, and why the heck doesn't it work? We've seen so many different diets, and we've seen so many failures that everybody's frustrated. And it's gotten to the point, everybody thinks that athletes are immune to this, but they're not. There are body image issues and weight control issues in sports, and maybe even more pressing in sport as the landscape gets so competitive. So we're going to be talking about that. Next week, we'll be diving into it a little further as we talk performance nutrition for athletes and high performers at any level, in any genre, in any arena of performance, as we talk to the guys from Precision Nutrition. So check it out. Dr. Friedhoff's blog, Weighty Matters, it is absolutely great. And, you know, if you go on there right now, you'll find some great stuff. And recently, he took on, you know, sort of the big food industry and calling a spade, and in a blog he called Canada's Right Wing Fraser Institute Pours Their Special Stupid on Obesity. And basically he's coming after the Fraser Institute for some of the claims they're making in some of their statements regarding obesity in Canada. They're claiming that it's an overstated problem and it's a misguided policy of solutions, where we're looking at, you know, exaggerating the seriousness of obesity, and nothing could be farther from the truth in Dr. Friedhoff's mind. And we have to frankly agree with them if you look at the data, which we're going to get to today. One of his other blogs, I think my favorite one of all time, that he posted last year, I believe, was called Juice is Not a Blankety Blank Blank Explicit Fruit. And he was just absolutely choked that included in some of the food guides and menu plans in hospitals and middle schools, juice is considered, or was considered, as a fruit. And it's just not that. And we'll ask him about that later on. But it's an absolutely candid and research-based blog that I think everybody should have a look at if you get a chance. You know, in terms of nutrition, again, R&R, you know, is number one. Nutrition, number two. We look at posture and setup for our athletes is number three. But when we talk about nutrition, all right, it's not just for sport. It's for the guys going into the boardroom. It's for that big sales meeting. It's for your concert or your exam. You name it. Nutrition will affect everything we do in every facet of your life. And right now, the diet industry constitutes annually in North America a gigantic industry that's bringing in about $60 billion a year. And it's hard to combat the kind of marketing we're seeing when on that side of the coin, we're seeing everybody pushing consume, consume, consume. And then on the health and wellness side and the performance side, we're kind of stressing moderation and strategy for managing our weight for health and wellness. But, you know, let's just face it, the big food industry is in it to make money. So there's certain priorities here. Can we come to a happy medium here? Well, if you look at the fast food, junk food, the supplement industry, it's crazy to think that the stress and health dollar is reaching the breaking point due to all of the side effects that are related to overweight and obesity. And that's a big issue if we look at it right now. In fact, the health issues in our society that are related to overweight and obesity are taking over as the number one factor, the number one cause of death from smoking as a preventative approach. So, you know, I guess how it comes down is, you know, obesity and overweight is now the number one preventable cause of death next to smoking that we have out there. And that's very, very scary. The cool thing is, though, it's 100% preventable. Doesn't matter what your genes look like. It doesn't matter, you know, what your socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter where you live. It's preventable. We're going to get to the bottom of it today. If you cut the consumption, you know, you'd think it might work if you look at these diet programs. You think we might be getting ahead, but it's just not working. So what do you do? Well, listen, we've cut fat consumption by 2/3 since the 70s. The number of workout centers have tripled in the last 10 years. Yet obesity and overweight has doubled and tripled in the meantime. And diets, whether they're low carb, no carb, high protein, whether it's no protein, no fat, the beach diet, paleo diet, vegan diet, and the supplement industry itself, nothing seems to be working. Absolutely nothing. And so the deal is diets don't work. And in fact, some of the stats have shown that 90% of all diets fail. And for a number of good reasons, if you think about it. And in Dr. Friedhoff's book, The Diet Fix, Why Diets Don't Work and How You Can Fix Your Diet, you know, he goes over some of the strategies and some of the reasons that, you know, diets aren't working for a lot of people. Performance nutrition isn't working for a lot of people. And, you know, we get to this point where we think if we're going to make an impact in our lives in terms of our weight and our health, we've got to get into this extreme world where we massively cut our weight, massively cut our consumption to get back on track. And that's just not how it works. Look, some of the seven deadly sins of dieting, according to Dr. Friedhoff, are hunger. One of the things we got to consider is, hey, you never really want to be hungry. And that is not more true for any other population than our athlete population. One of our number one priorities for our athletes out there is never get hungry, never get thirsty. If you can take that sort of a mindset into your daily plan when you wake up in the morning, never get hungry, all this binge eating and overeating is going to take care of itself. Now, I'm not saying there's a lot of different strategies out there. There's a fasting approach where people have had great success, you know, eating two big meals a day. There is the approach of eating 5 to 6 smaller meals a day and never eating a large amount at one time. And that goes back to all these different types of diets. You know, the thing is, we just don't believe that any one diet works for everyone. And here's what we got to think about then is whatever diet you're on, let's figure out how it can work for you. All right. So the text question of the day, get to us, 10-12-60 is the free text. A couple of lift passes for Marmot Basin and a midweek stay at the Mount Robson Inn up for grabs. Have you tried a diet? Which one? Has it worked? How much weight have you lost? And let us know what you think. Give us a text. As we dive into the seven deadly sins of dieting from Dr. Friedhoff's book, The Diet Fix. Sacrifice is another big problem he sees out there. We get into a situation where we sacrifice foods that we like, and we just cut it off, and it doesn't work either because, you know what, we're not built for sacrifice. We're not built for pain and anguish. You know, we are going to just build our desires and our cravings when we start cutting it out. Willpower is another one. Blind restriction, sweat, perfectionism, And then we get into the diet's seven deadly sins. You know, we have a lot of problems with our athletes, even where we see, you know, when they gain weight or they eat something they're not supposed to, guilt, shame, failure, depression, despair. Binge eating is a big one, most certainly, and weight cycling, which is a big, big problem. And I think everybody's been there, you know, whether you have put on weight, lost a bunch of weight, it comes back on. Well, the interesting thing about the human body is it really comes down to this biological set point that we get into. You know, our body will sort of hover around a comfortable level where it sort of operates on a daily basis. And if you can find that sort of wheelhouse where you're at, you're probably going to be okay, especially if you're exercising a little bit. We'll get to that with Dr. Friedhoff later on. But if you can get that going for you, I think you're going to be okay. Here's the number one thing you got to think about: being consistent. Just like everything else we talk about, if you can be consistent on your daily plan, for what you eat, when you exercise, you're going to be very, very successful. You know, we asked the question, you know, which is more effective in modifying diets? You know, monitoring your diet or modifying your weight? You know, we asked the question, which is more effective for modifying your weight, your diet or your exercise? And, hey, Connor, if you got a second here, listen, have you ever, you're an young, active guy. Have you ever been entrenched into a diet in order to, you know, improve your sport performance or maintain your weight or get control of your weight?
Honestly, no.
Yeah, good for you.
I've, you know, taken little steps, tried to cut out fast foods, chips, pop, things like that, but I've never actually really gone full out into one.
Yeah, so hey, if I was to ask you, what do you think would be more effective in controlling your weight? You know, if you're trying to look at your athlete or help somebody out, do you think it would be modifying your diet or monitoring, controlling the amount of exercise you get?
I'm going to go with exercise because I used to watch, the Hard Knocks series with, you know, NFL teams. And Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, he says he would go to McDonald's every day. He would work out every day as well, but he would go to McDonald's and he'd load up on the greasy stuff, the big breakfast. But the guy was just cut. He's obviously an all-pro, Pro Bowl NFL receiver. Maybe an exception, but I would lean to exercise.
No, for sure. And, you know, even in the baseball world and some of the hockey guys we work with, they got this great genetic makeup, right, where they can go to McDonald's every day and still stay lean and mean and not have to worry about it. But for the general public, believe it or not, you know, most people would say exercise would be the biggest factor, but it's not the case. As a matter of fact, if you're looking at modifying your weight, you know, the diet can contribute up to 80% of the change you can create, as opposed to 20% for exercise. And it's interesting to see because, you know, if you break down what exercise can do for you, you got to put in a massive, massive effort for, you know, almost very, very little return. It's not an easy out. Let's just make that certain. If we look at, you know, for example, the idea that, you know, a regular beer, for example, is 150 calories. A chocolate milk, one cup of chocolate milk, you're cashing in at about 210 calories. If you have a hamburger, a 4-ounce patty, hamburger, it's 445 calories. And ice cream, vanilla, regular, one cup is 270. You know, that's a lot of energy going in. And of course, you got to understand that the economy of weight loss, weight control is the calorie. And not all calories are created equal. That's a conversation for another day, but it's a good way to sort of monitor and regulate your energy intake as opposed to what you do. And, you know, if you look at, for example, 1 hour of playing basketball out on the court with the fellas, you burn on average about 584 calories. You know, if you go out and have a burger and a fry and a Coke, or you go to the movies and have a big, you know, super Coke and a large popcorn, you're going to have to play 2-3 hours of basketball straight just to burn the amount of energy you put in your body. If you look at golf, we were kicking off the golf season, of course. A round of golf carrying the clubs is about 314 calories. Climbing a treadmill, you know, stationary at a moderate rate of about 60% is 657 calories. If you run at 8 miles an hour on a treadmill, for 1 hour, you burn 861 calories. So, you know, if we look at the investment of time and energy going into exercise, you know, it doesn't really equate to getting a real big return on your weight control. And the way it goes, in the end of the day, if we break it down, look at the research, one study that followed this group of people who exercised over the course of a year, they had to invest 91.5 hours to affect 1 pound of body weight change. And so it's just not that effective. So we have to look to our diets. And what do you do? Well, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Dr. Yanni Friedhoff about how to fix your diet, how to eat for performance, and what you can do to fix your diet. Whether you're a high calorie, low calorie, high carb, no fat, whatever diet you're on, let's figure out how to fix it with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff right after this on Crush Performance.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Jeff Kershaw, the con man with you. Moo is away, and this is Crush Performance. We are talking the diet fix today. Dr. Yanni Friedhoff's new book, The Diet Fix, Why Diets Fail and How to Make Yours Work. This is coming off a big conversation we had with a lot of our off-season hockey players, some of the younger guys talking to their parents. Everybody knows that nutrition is paramount when it comes to performance, but also in terms of general health. And here's the deal. Whether you're talking sports performance or general health, the fundamentals of proper eating are consistent. It all starts with a great fundamental basis. And again, there's no magic to eating and dieting and consuming foods. It's just fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. Hey, if you want to get to us, you can check us out at crushperformance.com. 101260 is the text. Our text question of the day is, have you tried a diet? Did it work? How much weight have you lost? Have you been able to keep it off? Let's hear from you. We have two tickets, two lift passes to Marmot Basin for the final weekend up for grabs and a midweek stay at the Mount Robson Inn. So, get us your text. We'll be picking somebody here at the end of the show. And, you know, if we look at what's going on out there in the diet industry, it's a $60 billion a year industry just in North America. And that's not including the supplement industry. That's just the weight loss and diet industry. So, you know, it's big business. And you got to think all these big food companies and all these diet companies are out there marketing like crazy. The food companies pushing us to consume, the dieting companies trying to convince us to get onto their programs and get into their food plans. And so you can get lost in all of the propaganda and marketing, and it's not that hard. But when it comes down to picking your diet, it really doesn't matter what kind of diet you choose. You just got to make sure it works for you. And that's the premise of the book. And we are joined right now by Dr. Yanni Friedhoff, author of The Diet Fix. Dr. Friedhoff, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, we're here for one main cause, and that's to talk about the great new book that you have out, The Diet Fix, Why Diets Don't Work and How to Fix Your Diet. And I think that's great. But for people who have been interested in following you, the weightymatters.ca is sort of your website /blog. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to encourage everybody to go there and follow that because it's an interesting read. And some of your most recent posts are actually very, very interesting when you talk about, for instance, the Fraser Institute and their special stupid on obesity. I just find it fascinating the approach that, you know, all these major institutes take when it comes to nutrition and health. And yet, you know, when we look at the science and compare the two, it really doesn't match up. And that's what we get out of a lot of your blogs on Weighty Matters.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of interest out there. And so not every person or organization is working simply for the good or the health and welfare of people and Canadians. They have vested interests, and in regard to the Fraser Institute, there's no question their vested interest is supporting corporations and privatizing healthcare. And I think that that's the way they approach this issue, and clearly it's different than the way I might approach the issue, where my only concern is the health of our patients.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and it's weightymatters.ca for anybody who wants to go on there. I think one of my favorite posts of all time is juice is not a blankety blank blank fruit. Straight to the point and quite definitive in your meaning. Here, it's one of my favorite posts of all time.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, juice is one of those things where people think that it's good for you because it once was distantly related to things that grew on trees, but ultimately it's just sugar water. And people sometimes scratch their heads and think I'm nuts when I talk about it that way, but if I put the exact same amount of vitamins and minerals that you'd find in a glass of juice and a glass of Coca-Cola, I don't think anybody would mistake that for healthful. Ultimately, that's what juice is, because drop for drop, it's the same amount of calories, same amount of sugar as Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. And worse than Coca-Cola is people think it's healthy. So nobody mistakes Coca-Cola for a healthy beverage. But plenty of folks drink juice believing that they're doing something good for their bodies.
Yeah, and it's so true. It's Dr. Yanni Friedhoff joining us, the founder of Ottawa's Bariatric Medical Institute. You know, Dr. Friedhoff, it's interesting. You mentioned sort of the food industry and the government and marketing and that sort of twisted tale of how all those, I guess, organizations work together. And the bottom line is right, money. You mentioned it earlier with a lot of these organizations. Their idea is to make money, but it's interesting to note, when we look at the healthcare system, you know, a lot of these preventable issues that we're seeing in terms of health related to diet and exercise, you know, they're very preventable, but yet we're at the mercy of these massive marketing campaigns as a general public. But yet, you know, these health issues are crippling the healthcare dollar.
It's true. And, you know, the argument you generally hear, that I generally hear out there, is the one that, well, you know, we can all just say no and we can all just eat less and move more. And if those sorts of, you know, thoughts and directives were useful, I think we'd all be slim. If there was, you know, guilt and shame, if they were sufficient to make people lose weight, we would have all lost weight. At the end of the day, we're discussing billions and billions and billions of dollars that their sole purpose is to get us to consume, consume, consume. I don't think it's a fair fight. I really don't. There's hundreds of dietary decisions we make each and every day, and yet we have a world that is telling us, and really like a current pushing us towards calories. If you want to remain healthy in this day and age, it requires a skill set. It's not the default. On the other hand, once upon a time, back when there was less of an issue with diet and weight-relatable illnesses, it was because the default back then didn't cause gain, and just freely living in the world, it helped most people maintain a pretty healthy body weight. Nowadays, that's changed quite a lot.
We're talking with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff. Well, you're so right. You know, when we talk about some of the statistics out there, weight-related diseases have taken over from smoking as the number one preventable cause of death, and that to me is scary. And we do need resources, and one of the great resources out there is something that you provided, thankfully, is your new book, The Diet Fix: Why Diets Fail and How to Make Yours Work. This is a great read. Congratulations, first of all, on the book and all the success it's been seeing.
Thank you. I mean, it's certainly a labor of love. It's difficult when you've got a full-time job plus a full-time family to find time to write. But this was something that had been pulling me to the keyboard for years, and I'm thrilled that it was finally released, and even more thrilled that it's been received so fondly.
And it's so needed as well. If we look at some of the stats that are out there, for example, the fact that 90% of all diets fail, and people with weight to lose, you know, which is about two-thirds of our population right now, about 60% have tried more than six times to lose weight, and of those, 34% have tried 20-plus times, and 66% of those have tried countless times. They can't even remember. Diets don't work, Dr. Friedhoff. So what are we to do out there when, you know, we're bombarded daily with all these miracle cures for weight management?
Well, I think the thing that listeners need to remember is that we're not going to suffer forever when it comes to something as important to us as food. So food isn't just fuel. Food is comfort. Food is celebration. We've been using that as a species, food for comfort and celebration forever. For comfort, it actually affects our body's stress hormone levels. And for celebration, there's archaeologic evidence that's 12,500 years old that suggests that we've been feasting for celebratory reasons for a long, long time. Yet many of the modern day diets that we've got out there, they're predicated on not using food in that capacity, on under-eating, on over-exercising, on being hungry, on cutting out entire food groups, on avoiding the foods we love most in life. And while all of those approaches will help people in the short run, if a person's going to lose weight and keep it off for the long run, which I think is far more valuable and important, well, they need to like their lives, and to like your life, you need to be able to use food like a normal human being, including sometimes for comfort and celebration.
We're talking with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff, assistant professor at the University of Ottawa and the founder of Ottawa's Non-Surgical Bariatric Medical Institute. Well, it's interesting because you're right, you know, about the diet industry right now sort of cashes in around $60 billion in North America alone. And, you know, it's just not working for a lot of people, as you mentioned. But something that comes out of your blog and your writings quite often is the idea that, you know, do we need to treat this obesity and weight management situation more as a medical service, or attack it from a medical standpoint? And yet, you know, we talk to a lot of people in the know, and it seems like the doctors aren't really trained classically to deal with this sort of a scenario.
No, I mean, it's getting better, but certainly when I went to medical school in the 1990s, and there was no teaching really whatsoever on weight management and very little on nutrition, and certainly none of it practical in terms of dealing with real-world people with real-world lives in front of you. It really boiled down to being taught to tell people to, you know, eat less and move more, which is as useful as, you know, an economics class that teaches people to buy low and sell high. They're both truisms, but they get us nowhere. And so back when I started my practice as a family physician, I had to seek out my own education in regard to weight management and nutrition because, again, despite the fact it is, as you mentioned, the number one preventable cause of death in North America died in weight-related illness, and they're separate overlapping circles, those two things, by the way. They're not one and the same.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that I had to learn about a condition that affects a huge percentage of my patients is strange. I mean, I learn more about conditions statistically I will never see in my lifetime as a physician than I did about this that we see each and every day.
Well, isn't it interesting? Because it's there right there. You know, we're looking at 2/3 of the population right now who are, you know, dealing with issues and the stress in the healthcare dollar. Doesn't it make sense to maybe medicalize the whole situation dealing with overweight and obesity? Does it make sense to you?
Well, so I think so. I mean, it is a bit of a tough thing, and semantics and how things are couched and phrased matter. I do think that obesity is a medical condition. I do think that doctors should be trained better or trained at all in terms of how to manage the condition. But I think what's important is that if we think about it more as a medical condition, perhaps slowly we'll move the needle in society from the narrative that this is just about sloth and gluttony. You know, that is not what's going on. People are not going to bed at night thinking to themselves, you know what, hot damn, I'm going to try to gain another pound tomorrow. I'm going to eat more crap tomorrow because I want to do that. It's not the way it works. This is not a personal choice problem. Of course, there is the ability of a person to make changes and choices that will help them with their weight. But that's true about virtually every chronic medical problem we've got out there. 80% of our chronic medical conditions we can prevent through lifestyle change. That includes most cancers, it includes heart disease, it includes diabetes, it includes high cholesterol levels, and yet it is only with weight where we as a society feel morally righteous enough to say, you know what, that's your problem, you did this to yourself. I think we need to get over ourselves in that capacity. We need to appreciate that we haven't had an epidemic loss of willpower in society, but rather our society and the world around us has changed. And if we want to see some changes in regard to weight and health and nutrition in Canadians, we need to change the world we're growing up in, rather than trying to encourage each and every Canadian to try to figure out how to do this on their own.
Great stuff. We're talking with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff, author of The Diet Fix, Why Diets Fail and How to Make Yours Work. And, of course, the website is weightymatters.ca, where you can get Dr. Friedhoff's blog. Well, let's talk about this management. Let's talk about this solution, and your book is one of them. You know, we often say in the sporting world, Dr. Friedhoff, you know, if we want to figure out what to do, look to the pros, because they're probably doing it right. Well, there's this interesting group of people in our society that have, you know, gone on to lose weight and maintain this weight loss over a period of time. And it's all collected in your book. It's the Weight Control Registry. There's
that's
a lot
right.
to be learned from this group of people. And I think, you know, that's something that everybody should consider.
So when I opened my practice, I have an office in Ottawa that we opened in 2004, and we exclusively work in non-surgical weight management there. When I opened up to sort of create my program and approach, I studied this group of individuals that you mentioned, the National Weight Control Registry. So these are individuals who have lost weight and, more importantly, kept their weight off. And the average person, and there's over 10,000, I believe, registrants at this point, the average registrant in this group has lost 66 pounds and kept them off for 5.5 years. So they are very, very good at what they do. And what struck me was a few things. One is that they lost weight all sorts of different ways. So The Diet Fix, my book, and my practice in general, I'm not beholden to one particular approach. I think that there's different strokes for different folks in the diet world, and it is important to respect that. But more important were there were some very specific commonalities to their success. And the biggest was keeping track. you know, keeping some sort of record of dietary intake, whether it's a food diary, whether it's keeping track of carbohydrates or calories. There's a lot of different ways to do it. And they were, as a majority of them, were keeping track in some capacity. And it fits with the fact that we've done studies on food diarizing that show that people who keep food diaries lose twice as much weight as people who don't keep food diaries. Twice as much is a lot for a behavior that takes 1 or 2 minutes of effort a day once you're good at it, especially with our apps. So keeping a food diary is crucial. Liking your life is crucial. Obviously, it's about control. It's about minimizing hunger, which involves how you organize the times that you eat, making sure you don't eat too little, making sure you always include protein. You know, hunger is an enemy, and preventing that is a key component of the diet fix and dietary organization.
Great stuff. Dr. Yanni Friedhoff joins us. Dr. Friedhoff, you know, one thing in your book that was quite prevalent and the fact that you're not totally against any of the diets out there. You have fundamental, I guess, rules you like to follow, but there's not a wrong diet. There's not one diet that's better than another diet. You're talking about taking the diet that a person is interested in following and making it work in their lifestyle. That's sort of the whole idea behind the diet fix.
Absolutely. You know, I think that all diets can be tweaked and modified to sort of work for a person. And there's plenty of people out there who were on one or another particular diet that worked for a while and then stopped working. And if there is a way for that individual to figure out what went wrong and to tweak it, they may be able to resurrect one of their lives' most successful short-term efforts and turn it into a long-term effort. And that was my hope with the diet fix, is to give some principles that can be overlaid on top of any diet or used on their own to help somebody lose weight. But again, as I mentioned with the National Weight Control Registry, people lose weight all sorts of different ways. Who am I to tell somebody, you know, that there's a specific way of eating that is the best one? What's best for me might not be best for somebody else, sometimes because of cultural differences, sometimes because of different palates or real life circumstances in terms of job requirements, caregiving requirements. There's a lot of things that affect our choices from a dietary perspective, and to pigeonhole somebody into one way to go, I think, is a great way to ensure that lots of people fail long term.
We're talking with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff, family doctor and author of The Diet Fix, Why Diets Don't Work and How to Make Yours Work. Dr. Friedhoff, your book is broken down very smart. It's easy to read, easy to follow. It starts off with a reveal for the 10-day reset, has a recovery phase, great recipes, and inside of this, you've got a very interesting breakdown of things that you think are important. I really like the idea of the seven deadly sins of dieting, the dieting seven deadly traumas, and, you know, the traumatic dieting disorders. You've broken sort of these in down to really usable, easy to read sort of segments that can be really helpful for everybody out there.
I mean, I think that if you're going to make changes, understanding why you're making them is crucial. And some programs and approaches just tell somebody this is what you need to do. I think it's important to empower people to understand why they're being told what they're being told. And so the diet fix starts off with some explanations of why I came up with the concepts and the philosophy that I espouse. Then how do you employ it into your real life? And then the last section, which I call recovery, is the extended life. How do you manage on vacations? How do you manage on holidays? How do you manage with food pushes in your life? What do you do about alcohol? What about medical problems you might have? Should you consider surgeries? Are there drugs that might be impacting this? Because there really are, again, a lot of variables that will affect a person's weight.
Yeah, Dr. Friedhoff, just one last thing before we let you go here. Appreciate your time today. Just as people get ready to, you know, take on this task of managing their weight and getting it under control, understanding where they're at is really important. I thought there was one really interesting sort of statement you made in the book, and it's the fact that some studies suggest that beyond the age of 65, the healthiest body weights are statistically in the overweight range, which I thought is interesting. And also on top of that was the effectiveness of exercise, which is, you know, a lot of people have been led astray in a lot of these programs that are out there by the importance, or maybe not the importance, but the effectiveness of exercise in weight management. In one study, it mentioned that 91.5 hours per year to affect 1 pound of body weight change. That's an amazing number.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is that if we burned huge numbers of calories through exercise, I don't think we would be here as a species, because up until very, very, very recently, there just weren't very many calories out there to eat. We grew up, so to speak, in an evolutionary perspective through times of extreme dietary insecurity. And so if we burned a whole pile of calories, you know, walking around and doing our thing, we wouldn't have been able to hunt and capture enough calories to survive. Our bodies are very efficient. They just don't burn as many many calories as would be fair. And we also, as human beings, have this failing where we believe once we exercise, we deserve more calories. We deserve to eat better. And we will often eat because we exercised, which is why on paper, exercise absolutely can burn calories. But in practice, it doesn't tend to lead people to weight loss. Most experts will agree 80% of a person's modifiable weight is modifiable on the basis of dietary choices, only about 20% on the basis of fitness choices. A lot easier to lose weight in your kitchen than in your gym.
Dr. Friedhoff, thank you very much for your time today. Appreciate the book, and we'll look forward to following you on Weighty Matters and talking to you soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Great conversation with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff. We'll sum up the conversation with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff after this on Crush Performance.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
That is right. Questions, comments, smart remarks, get to us, crushperformance.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, at Crush Performs. You can also text us today, the text question of the day. Have you tried a diet? Did it work? How much weight have you kept off? It's a battle out there. We all know it. Not just for, you know, the general guy out there, but also for our athletes as well. There's lots of people, you know, trying to make weight and maintain their weight to be competitive. And it's an issue for everybody, and it's not easy. Great conversation with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff about his book, The Diet Fix. A must read for everybody. You know, whether you just have a family, whether you're just trying to eat healthy, even if you're not dieting, so to speak, it's just an absolute great resource, and we'll go over that right away. But wanted to get some of the text. We got two Marmot Basin passes to give away and a midweek stay at the Mount Robson Inn as we wind up the season at Jasper's Marmot Basin, 428 centimeters, and of course the year-end party is this weekend. Jen Hall is going to be up there. You can ski with one of Canada's sweetheart Olympians and gold medal champions, and of course Marmot Basin wrapping up their 50th anniversary. They've done a great job out there, and we'll give those away here at the end of the show. Yeah, a couple texts had come in. He said, from Chris, yeah, never really tried a diet specifically, but just tried to think, what am I going to have to do to get this off? And it's worth it, unless alcohol's involved, of course. Be consistent and honest. Yeah, and no question about it. Listen, alcohol is one of those evil, wicked pleasures, especially if you look at the cost involved for, you know, consuming one of those alcoholic beverages. If you look at it, 1 gram of protein has 4 calories in it. 1 gram of carbohydrates is also 4 calories. 1 gram of fat is 9 calories, and 1 gram of alcohol is 7 calories. Now you add in a sugary drink or a sugary mix, and man, it is a recipe for disaster. So yeah, alcohol is certainly a problem. No question about it. Here's another one from RW. Diagnosed with MS a year ago. Swapped from meat and potatoes to vegan and no dairy or eggs. Went from 260 pounds to 225, which is absolutely great. And he says, but now back to 230. Damn beer and playoffs. And there you go again. So, some great texts. We got a bunch more in there, but, you know, it's a great conversation to have because it affects everybody. I know, you know, even though I'm pretty active at Christmas time alone, I can put on 12 pounds if I'm not out there active. You know what I'm talking about? So it's a big conversation.
Talking about alcohol, I know we kind of talked during the break there. Former Tennessee Titans running back Lendale White, he said, one off season, his direct quote, it wasn't a lot of major diet changes. It was what I drank. I was a big Patron connoisseur. So that's tequila for those who don't know. And he said he cut that out and he ended up losing 30 pounds.
Wow.
He said he was at his lowest weight since high school.
So two questions come up there. How much tequila was he drinking, man? And you
seems
know,
like a fair amount, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the spinoffs to drinking tequila, right? I'm sure his diet after a night of dousing the tequila probably wasn't the best either.
That McDonald's looks probably pretty good at that time.
You got it. And I think most of us have been there to some point as well.
Oh, yeah.
But no, that's a great story. And it's so true, right? And there you go from the athletic world. So it affects everybody, most certainly. You know, some of the great things Dr. Friedhoff talked about, you know, is just keeping it simple. And it doesn't matter what diet you're on, it's got to work for you. And no extremes. One of the keys to his whole system is no extremes. And this book is really laid out well. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you get a chance, it's a must read. I took it to Europe with me when I was on my last MLB assignment, just to read it through to get a good feel, because we've had Dr. Friedhoff on the show previously, and of course, if you ever had a chance to check out his blog, Weighty Matters, you will love it. Just for the straightforwardness, no BS version of the diet industry and the food industry there. It's really, really good. But in his book, he sort of sets it up in three sort of segments. He has the reveal where he goes over the history and some of the science behind dieting, and, you know, where we're at with this entire big industry and why it's not working. And then he has his procedure from all of his experiences and all the people he's worked with. He set it up with his 10-day reset, and it's broken down to something called the gear up, the diarize, banish hunger, cook, think, exercise, indulge, eat out, set goals, and troubleshoot. Those are the 10-day reset. And each one of those topics is a day. He promises you, once you get through those 10 days, if you follow the rules, you're going to be on your way. But interesting in the conversation, and we stress this with our athletes as well, one of the most successful factors that helped those people from the National Weight Loss Registry take off upwards of 60 pounds and keep it off for, you know, five or more years was the fact that they kept a diary, a daily log, and they wrote it down. It made them accountable, made them actually plan, and it was one of the keys to success for people who've been able to get weight off and keep it off. So keep that in mind. And the other thing he mentioned as well is measuring the food, scaling the food. And he's not opposed to stepping on the scale once in a while. He says, don't live on the scale. Don't step on there every day to manage your failures or successes, but use it as a guide. But most certainly measure your food. And for the athletes out there, if you're serious about what you're doing, that's something we really, really encourage, especially once we're developing a routine, a nutritional and biochemical routine for our athletes based on their training times or practice times, school, work, and whatever they're doing. Really, really, really important. And so there's a lot of great things coming out of that conversation. The podcast will be up at Crush Performance after this, so if you want to spread it around, please do so. A great conversation that I think, you know, goes well, well beyond sport. Like I said, this has implications in the boardroom, whether you're making your big sales pitch, whether you're out there teaching students or writing exams for yourself. We've known for quite some time the impact of diet and hydration has a massive impact on cognitive abilities. And of course, we know, you know, after talking with Dr. Friedhoff here, the implications in terms of general health. And again, just to stress the point, you know, overweight and obesity has taken over as the number one preventable cause of death. It's taken over from smoking, and that's a pretty scary thought if you think about it. Inside of his book, if you get a chance to get it or check it out, he has the 10 cardinal rules, the Dr. Yanni Friedhoff 10 cardinal rules. One of them is eat breakfast within 60 minutes of waking up. Get that metabolism going. Don't put yourself into starvation mode after coming off of 10 to 12 hours of sleep or whatever you're doing. Eat every 2.5 to 3.5 hours. So you got a constant intake of food. Another one he has in his 10 cardinal rules is ensure that each meal contains 20 or more grams of protein, and each snack contains 10 grams of protein. Really, really important. That protein on a regular basis is absolutely critical, not just for weight management, but also for recovering from exercise, workout, or even mental stress. Absolutely critical. Another one here is exercise for 45 minutes or less, and all you need is water. Exercise and water. Now, don't rule out exercise as a major contributor here, but certainly understand that exercise isn't the end-all be-all when it comes to losing weight. If we look at exercise and how it really works, all right, the amount of effort you have to put in for the benefits on the weight control side just aren't there. But now if you match up diet and exercise, you've got something serious going on. And we talked about exercise a couple weeks ago. You know, when we look at some of the stats, exercise is critical for overall health. And there's one study that came out. People who are physically active about 7 hours a week have a 40% lower risk of dying early than those who are active for less than 30 minutes a week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Talk to you next week.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We have something for everyone. National sports radio talents like the Fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like Wrestling Soup and the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. News and current event shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger. We've got you covered. You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.